Welcome, 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 welcome to the RTRMI radio podcast. This is Pastor Robert Douglas, and I'm so excited to have you here with us. So let's go ahead and just give God a bit of praise right now that he has gotten us this far. He is carrying us into another hour. He's carrying us into another week. He has carried us into another day. And for that alone, we should give God just some glory and some praise. I am so glad that you are on here on our podcast tonight. I believe God has something awesome that he would desire to share with you tonight. So with any, that being said, let's go ahead and go and have a moment of prayer. If you would like to, please, we ask that you support this podcast so that we can continue to keep this thing going, to keep this this method that God has given us to be able to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ with those that are not able to go to an actual localized building or not able to just fellowship right now with all the conditions and current things that are going on in this world. But we ask that you please just support us so that we can continue to expand and to grow and to do things for the kingdom of God. So with that being said, for those of you that are on here, I bless you. I give you honor. I give you my highest respect, because I know that you could be anywhere else doing anything, but I'm so glad that you are here. So let us have a brief moment of prayer as we begin to just kind of just get our minds and our hearts prepared for just what God is about to do tonight. I believe that he has a word for us today in this Bible study. Gracious and heavenly Father, I thank you, Father, for everything that you are doing right now. I thank you, Father, that you are in the midst of everything that happens in our lives. I thank you, Father, that right now, even as we're coming into this place of worship and fellowship, that, Father, you begin to just go with us, God, and begin to have your way on tonight. I pray, Father, that God, even right now, that even as I'm speaking these words, but God, it's not my words, it is your words. It is the words that you desire to have your people hear. It is the words that will bring encouragement. It is the words that will bring hope. It is the words that will bring peace. And Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I just pray that God, you begin to just allow your Holy Spirit to be magnified, to be lifted up, to be enlarged right now on today. I pray, Father, that everything, God, that you get the glory out of everything. And I pray, Father, that right now, no matter what we have gone through, no matter what our lives have faced, whatever have come our way, we give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you glory right now that you kept us. You kept our minds. You kept our soul. You kept our hearts, God, in a place, God, where we did not get discouraged. And we made it through, Father. We thank you. Because where would we be if it was not for you? Where would we be if it wasn't for the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross? Where would we be if we did not have our hope in you? And Father, for that, we thank you because you always showed yourself strong. You showed yourself mighty. You showed yourself worthy. And we give you honor. We give you praise. So Father, on tonight, I pray that you bless my brother and my sister. Whatever their needs may be, of God, that I stand in faith covenant agreement right now, that God, you begin to meet their every need. Father, whatever it is that you find that is not pleasing in your sight, we ask, Father, that you begin to just move it out right now. We give you full authority. We give you all the ability and the power. We just step aside, Father, that you can come into our hearts, come into our minds, and do a work like never before. I pray, Father, by the authority of Jesus Christ, that you begin to shift us, change us, mold us, and make us to be that which you have desired us to be. And Father, for that, we give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Come on and give God praise. Amen. I know that you are hearing different types of music here. We're just snazzing it up a little bit, making this be more of an effective broadcast. Let me know if you can, before we get into this word of God, let me know if you guys can hear me. Amen. Let me know if you can hear me, if you can just send me some type of, shout out or anything that you can do, because we're doing a different format or doing a different new thing. But if you can hear me, just, say amen, say hallelujah, whatever the case may be, that's fine. If not, if I need to make some adjustments, I'll do that. That's not a problem. But I'm so grateful and I'm so excited about tonight's podcast. You know, I wanted to share this with you today because it's been something that I've been kind of studying all day and kind of just trying to get a direction of where God wanted me to go into our Bible study for tonight. And I understand that, you know, we are constantly going to be dealing with something or elements in our lives that has caused us to change. We are dealing with, I always said we're in a different comfort zone. We're in a different place. And, you know, the truth of it is that we are in a place that we have never been in. And, you know, I know a lot of us are waiting for things to go back to the norm, but they would never be the same. This where we are right now, this is history. This is history in the making of what is happening in our nation. And it's not just a county. It's not just a city. It's not just a state. It is nationwide. And matter of fact, I believe it's even countrywide, that the whole world is affected by this coronavirus epidemic or whatever it is. Now, I will say this. I don't or will not take what is going on lightly, or to tell people not to, don't worry about it, that type of thing. Actually, we as Christians, we don't worry. We don't have fear. I will say this. This has caused a lot of people to be aware of what may come, what is to come, and how our lives are so fragile that, you know, we need to have different things in place, you know, in our lives that will allow us to have that level of security and assurance so that we can prepare for whatever may come. And now we never may know what may come. We never know what would happen. We never know or can never read, unless God gives it to us. We never really will read or see anything unless God shares it with us by the way of the Holy Spirit through a prophetic unction. But for the most part, what I'm saying is this, that we should at least have a level of preparation in a different things. You know, it has caused us to really change our mindset on a few different things in our lives. And I'm so grateful because many people can look at it in a negative light, but I choose to look at it in a positive light because at the end of it all, you know, God is going to get the glory. And I'm going to say this, and I'm going to actually steal this from another man of God that had basically said this, is that here's my take on this whole coronavirus issue. And I'm sure some of you probably will believe the same thing or say the same thing. And here's my take on it. If I don't have it, then God has protected me. Okay. He has protected me. If I don't have it, he has protected me. If it ever comes out that I do have it, then I have the faith and the trust to know that my God is a healer and he will keep me. And if God forbid, or it be God's will that I die from it, then I'm going to be with him. So that is my mantra or my theme and my focus in all of it. Now, in the process of all that, yes, I do have faith. Yes, we have faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. We are cautious. We are careful. We're doing what's required to keep our families and our bodies safe, you know, and also, you know, still exercising and operating in our faith. But that is my statement, and I stand on that very thing. So I don't want to walk into a level of fear that, you know, being cautious and looking at the things that seem to be a shortage, because I know and my trust and my faith is in him. Amen. He is bigger than this whole epidemic that we've ever experienced. Amen. But, you know, enough on that. I really want to get into our topic tonight. And tonight, I want to give you a theme or a topic of this Bible study tonight. And the topic of this study tonight is He Sees the Blood. Going to say that again. So the topic of tonight is that he sees the blood. Amen. He sees the blood. That is the topic of our Bible study for tonight. So tonight, I wanted to talk about a few things. I want to share with you a few things, and I wanted to just kind of walk around some different things, different concepts, different things when it comes to scripture. You know, we have to understand and we have to realize, you know, it's like sometimes we have to realize the foundations that many of us were set on. I know many of us with RTRMI, we come out of a sure and a strong foundation. You know, the old way that many people would say, you know, we come from a hand clapping, tongue talking, church, Pentecostal Church of God in Christ. That's our foundation for many of us, is our foundation of biblical strong teaching. Now, I'm not knocking Church of God in Christ at all by any means. It was something that allowed me to grow and to exercise and stand on the very teachings that God had begun to allow me to experience to grow my faith and to grow my understanding and the revelational knowledge that God has gave me. So basically, it was a situation of going from faith to faith and from glory to glory, and also growing and maturing in the gospel so that I may be able to not only live my life in a way that pleases the Father, that pleases Christ, lined up with Christ, but also to hopefully be an example or to be a help or to encourage others to do likewise, and to have us all hold ourselves accountable, that we make sure that we're living a life that is that Christ and God can be glorified out of. Amen. That we can live a life that God is glorified out of. However, I wanted to share some things with you that we fall back on these different sayings, you know, in our lives that come true to now. So the topic, again, I'm going to share for those that are just coming on, is that the blood, he sees the blood. That's our topic. He sees the blood. Now, we're talking about the essence of he. Now, we are in a season right now where we're coming into Easter Sunday. That is the commercial definition or terminology for it, where, you know, many of us, you know, will have that big Sunday service where we'll come and, you know, we may have sunrise service early in the morning, or we may have the kids would do a speech about, you know, Christ dying on the cross and being risen, you know, out of the tomb. And you know, and it's one of the most exciting times. As a matter of fact, I believe that it is one of the times, you know, aside from all the other commercialized things that, you know, that kind of really just deaden or desensitize us from the true essence of this celebration, which is really the Passover celebration. Amen. It is the Passover celebration. This is a time where, you know, we go to church, you know, you say your Easter speeches or whatever it is that you may do, and you have the fellowship, and then they begin to really talk about, or I will say this, it is a mini revival, I would say. It reminds us of the power of Christ that he displayed dying on the cross. Okay. First of all, let's go back further than that. He came in, you know, from his glory, from his righteousness, was transformed, you know, where his glory was stripped from him. He came through an immaculate conception through the Virgin Mary. Okay, was never done before. He came at a lowly state, but he became the savior of the world. Now, in that lowly state that he had, he was not popularized or I would say glitzed up, or he wasn't glamorous. He wasn't famous at that particular time. He came as someone born to, you know, a virgin, which is Virgin Mary, that was about to get, get married or was espoused or engaged to a carpenter. His name was Joseph. And so the whole story, and we know the essence of the whole story, it is a unlikable, or I would say it doesn't give you the most, I would say the most likable condition, so to speak. But I'm so grateful that those conditions were jacked up and messed up, because we'll find ourselves rolling into those conditions. We'll find ourselves in the way that Christ was born. We can always find ourselves in Christ. Amen. We can always find ourselves in Christ, no matter where we are, no matter who we are, no matter where we come from. We can always find ourselves in Christ. So that may be a sermon for another day, but I digress. Nevertheless, what I want us to understand is that the whole concept of this whole time frame that we're in now, we're in the Passover season. And so if we would, let's just go ahead and just get into this word of God. And let's kind of turn our Bibles, if we can. And I'm going to read some different things. If we will, I want to turn our Bible to Exodus. Amen. Turn our Bibles to Exodus. We're going to turn it to Exodus. Let's go ahead and going to pull out the Bible here. And we're going to actually go to Exodus 12, be the 12th chapter, and we're going to start at the first verse, and I'm going to read it the King James Version. And we'll kind of stop and expound on a few things, but I want to give you a gist of the foundation of what we're going to talk about on tonight. Exodus 12, and it says that, "And the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye into all congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their father, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb." The fifth verse. "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of that same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it into the evening." Seventh verse. "And they shall take of the blood," okay? "They shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it," okay? Eighth verse. "And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread and with bitter herbs that they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs and with the purtenance thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." I'm going to read 13th verse again, because it's going to be the presence of what we're talking about, or the essence of what I want to get into. And it says, "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." So we have to understand that in this particular time, now I want you guys to understand, and that thing kind of gave me a little bit of a chill, that he says, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." When I see the blood, when I see the blood. I want to encourage you tonight and today to understand that God sees the blood, okay? God sees the blood. I think that in so many ways, and I was kind of a little bit, today I was kind of reflecting on some things that in my own personal, thoughts and my own personal life. And I'll share this with you. And I'm a very transparent person. I try to be as transparent as I can. And because of the fact that I realize that we all are trying to do one thing, and that's to see Jesus Christ. And so if I can help someone by being real with my testimony, or being real with some of the things that I may think or how I may feel sometimes, I know that I'm anointed. I know that there's an apostolic calling on my life. I know there's a prophetic calling on my life. I know there's an evangelistic calling. All the fivefold ministries are in operation. I'm not bragging or nothing about that, because I only do what he allows me to do. It's by his grace that I do these things. And it is by his grace that I'm not the only one that can do these things, but many of you can do these things and maybe can do them better than I can. Amen. But today I was just kind of thinking and just really kind of taking reflecting on everything that has taken place up to this moment. And what I do believe is that with everything that goes on, and I'm seeing it with maybe with some of you know, the believers that are out there, and not criticizing or anything like that, but we have to be careful, because what I'm seeing is it's starting to take place, and we as Christians must be careful. Me myself must be careful. Is that what begins to happen is, because of the circumstances that are going on around our surroundings or in our lives, in our work, in our school, even in our homes, that we can be desensitized to the very essence of what God has already spoken over us, that gives us our level of hope and it gives us our level of protection. And what that thing that I'm referring to is the blood. The blood of Jesus Christ is the most powerful thing, the most powerful medicine. It still has power. You know, I'm so, you know, when you hear the just the word, the blood of Jesus, it begins to just push back every doubt, and it begins to push back every cloud. Just say it, the blood of Jesus. I know you on this podcast, but just come on and say it, just the blood of Jesus. And there should be a shaking in your spirit, because the blood of Jesus still has power. And what I want you to understand is that the precious blood of Jesus Christ, oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fountain that I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. That powerful blood that was shed on Calvary's cross, it still resonates, and it still has power. It still is relevant in everything that we're going now. And what happens if we're not careful? We get desensitized to what we believe in our faith by what we see that's happening in the world. You know, I was kind of quickened by something, and I never knew this. And you know, I just was looking around, and I happened to I was looking for, I don't know exactly what it was I was looking at, but I ended up coming across a picture. And it was a picture of showing that there was a, and I'm not sure exactly, I think it's in Brazil somewhere or another, but there was a particular church that has the actual remnants, hear me, the actual bloodstained remnants that were, that have been, you know, from what I read, have been classified, verified, or authenticated, that's what I'm looking for, authenticated as being the true remnants or the true garments that contain the actual blood of Jesus Christ. And when I begin to just look at it and look at the picture, it did something in my spirit that it says, you know what, God, you are real. And it's a sense of understanding that it's a sense of understanding that he is real, not because of the fact that I can see him like I see my wife, like I see my son, like I see my daughters, or I see my mother, or I see the RTR in my family. It's not in this aspect of that I can see him physically, but I see him through the lens of faith and through the lens of hope and through the lens of the word of God that I know and become to be my truth. And by seeing what, it's almost what you see when your faith we know is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen, right? It's the evidence of things not seen until you see it activated or manifested in a way that it actually works. So that very thing that you don't see has some type of holds some type of weight that eventually, if you just continue to trust it, it begins to validate what you believe by being what it said it always was going to be. So that's the feeling that I had when I began to look at the picture of this little small vial of a bloodstained cloth in a secured, sealed up, canister or container. And what I want us as believers to understand is that we have to understand that the blood of Jesus is still alive and is still resonant today. And the blood does so many different things. You know, it does so many things as far as, and I know we speak it by faith, and many people just, you know, think that it's just, oh yeah, you're just, you know, doing old wives' tales, or you're just saying little tricks or things like that. No. If you read the word of God, you have to understand exactly what the blood is. See, what happens is when we say the blood of Jesus, we have to understand exactly what that means. We have to understand exactly where that comes from. We have to understand the breakdown of what the blood is, the breakdown of the essence of the power of the blood, the purification of the blood, the cleansing of the blood, the light that is in the blood, the hope that is in the blood, the healing virtue of the blood, the authority of the blood, the demon breaking, chain breaking power, the salvation of the blood, the cleansing of the blood. My God, we have to understand all the essence of what the blood really talks about. And so when we find our story in Exodus, we have to understand this. Let's go back into our story of Exodus, and I'm going to kind of read a little bit and kind of just really kind of give you a synopsis of what is taking place so that we have a clear understanding of what that is, what happened in the Passover when they was putting the blood on the doorpost. You know, it was putting the blood of the firstborn lamb, okay? Firstborn male lamb, okay? And what we have to understand is at that time, Moses was commissioned to bring the people out of bondage, bring the people out of Egypt, and, you know, really basically to take care of them out of what they have been crying for and been praying for. And Pharaoh had refused to set the Israelites free from slavery. Now, despite all the things that all the warning signs and the things that God was doing, you know, he was, having plagues come, you know, and he was having all type of different judgments and things coming, and, you know, and it was like judgment of the Egyptian gods. They were just breaking and just falling down and all kind of different things, that the last thing that was the ultimate 1-2 knockout punch was that God began to say, you know what? Okay. I see that you're not taking me seriously, Pharaoh. I've sent my servant. He's spoken to you. He's pleaded with you to let my people go. I've heard their cries, and I hear them, and I've already sent my deliverer. But Pharaoh began to harden his heart. His heart was hardened, and he refused to let them go. So here's what God decided to do. He began to go to Moses, and he began to instruct Moses to inform the Israelites, inform the people exactly what to do. And he informed them by way of doing exactly what he said. Listen to what I'm saying. There was a certain thing that they had to do. They had to get, number one, the first, and I'm not going to, you know, break it all down that far. Just really want to kind of brush on a few things, a few, you know, tidbits, and I'm hoping that you're taking notes. But one of the things that he talked about was he said to get the first male lamb, the first born. In other words, it's the one that has broken the womb or has opened the womb. That's what I want to say. Opened the womb. What I mean by that is, you know, the first male lamb. So just like, you know, when men and women, I know that's on here, women, you have your first baby. That is the first time anything was in the womb. Okay. Your first baby, your first, you know, when you was conceived, your firstborn, you know, okay, the firstborn. That was the first time from a virgin state to now being able to produce an actual reproduction of an actual being, that first child, a first male child. Talks about the first lamb. And he begins to instruct them to prepare it a particular type of way. They couldn't boil it. They couldn't fry it. They had to roast it. Okay. And all the specific instructions, they had to heat all of it. It could not be wasted. Nothing could be carried over. Nothing could be saved. And one of the interesting things that was kind of, you know, kind of caught me real quick, as it says, is that what they would do, they would take one lamb. And if that lamb, say, for example, was not enough or was too big, I would say, for that one house, say, for example, in a household, you may have had three people in one household, right? And you had that one lamb. It was a nice size one lamb of 1 year. Okay, Then you had another household that may have had maybe one or two people in there. Well, you would combine those two households that would basically be for that one lamb. Okay, so that was a good thing about it. But so anyway, they had specific instructions that they had to do. And then there were certain things that they had. Now, here's the thing that you know, that we have to look at, because when it came to the instructions that he told him to put the blood on the post of the door and on the top of the door, the lintel, where thou enter in, or whatever the case may be. He had gave him specific instructions. You find that as we read in Exodus. He gave him specific instructions, and what he told him that what's going to happen is the death angel is coming through, okay, and it is not a respecter of persons. It doesn't matter if you are Hebrew, Greek, rich, fat, little, black, white, yellow, if you are a human, or if you are a beast. It does not matter. There's only one thing, and if we be honest, there's only one thing that makes the difference, and that's the game changer for our lives right now, and that's blood. Because even back in the time of Exodus, what began to occur is that the only thing that would allow the death angel to pass over the house where there wouldn't be any death in that home, it wasn't if you were Hebrew, it wasn't if you were Greek, it wasn't if you were an Egyptian, if you had any type of status, if you were Pharaoh himself. When death came, if that angel did not see the blood, okay, when God came and he did not see the blood, if he did not see the blood, death was going to take place. If he did not see the blood on that place of an inhabitant of a family, doesn't matter what their status was, doesn't matter how much money they had, if they did not have the blood where it was supposed to be, death was surely going to come. The firstborn was going to be taken. Firstborn of the people, firstborn of any, if it was a goat and a lamb, that firstborn would die instantly. Okay? But if they had the blood, it would pass over. It would go to the next house. It will pass over. And my brothers and my sisters, that is where we are right now. When we confess Christ as our personal Savior. I'm going to go back a little bit. Let's go back. If we were to go back into Genesis, and we go back into the Garden of Eden, and we go back to the place where at one time, if we go back then when you know, I want to share this, is that, you know, there had to be a sacrifice. God always looks for a sacrifice. He always looks for a sacrifice, and it has to be a worthy sacrifice. If we go through the whole trilogy of Genesis, and I remember one time we went through it before, and we may go through that whole lesson again, how we was talking about that all the sacrifices that were made would be the first doves, the first lambs, first goats, things of that nature. These things, eventually, as we go further down or go along, we'll see that all these different sacrifices that was originally that came into play, at one time, they stunk in the nostrils of God because the hearts of men were not convicted, were not changed. Whereas they would get sacrificial, they'll make the sin was still prevalent in the beginning. Sin was still there. And they would use the sacrifice to because see what happens is, and I'm getting ahead of myself. What happens is that sin keeps us from being in the presence of God. Sin is that river, that gap. It is that thing. Whereas, you know, God is a holy God. And when we come into him, we must come and worship him in spirit and in truth. But if there is any sin inside of us, inside of our heart, our minds, our soul, our spirit, then we are unclean. We are unworthy to be in his presence because he is a holy God. Anything like that cannot stand in his presence. But it was because the sacrifice of Christ, being the Savior, being the worthy Lamb, the lamb that is the only lamb that was qualified to take away the sins of this world, a lamb without blemish. Because mind you, what it says is that it was one that broke the womb. Christ was one that broke the womb of Mary. He was the one that came. And there was a reason that God had to do the things the way that he did. Because in Genesis, it talks about that it had to be a lamb or something without blemish. It had to be pure. It could not have any marks. It could not be deformed. It had to be without blemish. When Christ was transfigured from his earthly or his heavenly state and came down through 40 generations and began was conceived into Mary, was put into by way of the Holy Spirit through Mary, man could not mix in that because man's blood was already tainted and was contaminated because of sin. Christ had to go through virgin to be a lamb without blemish. There couldn't be no knowing of a man, no residue of an actual physical man, no conception, no seed from an actual physical man for Mary. It was a immaculate conception when it was by way of the Holy Spirit, because something that was being transformed from a holy being now being transformed into a fleshly being. And the Holy Spirit still resonated in us. Okay. Now, so he comes out through 40 generations, he's a lamb without spot, without blemish. Christ, and what we see in Genesis, the birth of Christ, what we see in Genesis, everything that happened with Christ, this in Genesis, or in Exodus, excuse me, is a foreshadowing, or it is the same thing or same representation or speaking of the same process that Christ does for us. Basically, is this: death, sin and death, we were destined to die because of the sin when we were born into this world. And we all know the story of salvation, all those different things. I just want you to understand the power of what the blood does. It is because of Christ's blood being shed on the cross that has now allowed for the death angel, for those that have accepted it and understand it, it has allowed the death angel to pass over us because of the sacrifice that was made on the cross, on Calvary's cross. Okay? That was the sacrifice that was made. So when God sees us, when he sees us in our state, when he sees us now going through the situations and the circumstances that we're dealing with right now, going through all these struggles and all these strongholds and all these the different things. And here's the thing that I'm so grateful. This thing just shook my heart and it really just brought me to a place of just really being so grateful that Christ died on the cross for our sins. Is that even when we are not 100% perfect 100% of the time, all the time, we are not. I don't care who you are, how sharp your collar is. I don't care how sharp your Easter suit is, so sharp you could cut somebody with it. You still are still operating in your flesh. And by you still operating in your flesh, you are subject to allowing your mind and your soul, if you don't keep it in subjection to the Holy Spirit, you can allow your mind and your soul easily to mess up everything. In our flesh dwells no good thing. There is nothing that dwells that is good in our flesh. There's nothing. You know, our blood, our bodies have the tendency to sin against God. It has that tendency because we are fleshly beings. But it is by the Holy Spirit and the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ and the blood that is shed over our lives. It is by his blood that when God looks at us, he knows about the filthy rags. He knows about the stuff that we did. He knows about the stuff that we thought. He knows about the stuff that we watched. He knows about the stuff that, you know, that we, you know, we thought about or that we were in. He knows about these things. But when he sees us, he looks at the blood of Jesus Christ and he looks at the sacrifice that was made and he begins to understand that we're no longer destined to hell. We're no longer a disappointing creation. We're no longer that rift between he and God, but now he sees us in a different light and he remembers the covenant that he made with his son, or the made that he actually made with himself. That basically, if I be lifted up, I would draw all men unto me. Meaning that if Christ is lifted up, if Christ is crucified, okay, if he is crucified and he be lifted up because of the work that he did on Calvary's cross, not only the death, the burial, but also the birth, the crucifixion, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, those things all in conducive to all each other, those things, that process that has to take place, that brings us into a place now where we're no longer looked at as being, and I'm going to say it as like it is, because at one time we were actually bastards because of sin. We were pushed out because of the sin that was in our lives. We were not worthy of the promise because we were in sin. But it is only by the way of Jesus Christ dying on the cross and his blood that was shed over us. It is almost like that mark where we deserve death. We deserve to be thrown in hell. We deserve to be crucified. We deserve to be punished. We deserve for all the things that we've done, thought, and said. But it is because that mark of the blood that is on our lives, as we accepted him as our personal savior, that grace and mercy kicks in. And he says, you know what? Because of his blood, he's constantly making intercession for us. His blood is still making intercession for us on the mercy seat. He's sitting right hand of the Father making intercession for us. And so what that does, that blood, that birth, that blood right gives us, it allows our names to be engrafted into the name of Jesus Christ. My God. I saw something that was kind of powerful and it kind of shook me today. I was watching this movie and me and my son was watching it last night. And it was a samurai movie, martial arts movie. But what this whole situation was, and I'm going to give you this little the gist of the scene, and we're gonna continue on. I want you to understand something. But this whole gist of this thing, they were these warriors. I'm going to be as quick as I can. These warriors, and these warriors were cast out because of a insurrection that took place where their master, or whatever the case may be, was dethroned and killed. Or he killed himself basically because of some dishonor that took place and some other things. And what began to happen is the kingdom that master had and his warriors, they began to be dispersed out because what happened, someone took over that kingdom, scattered it out, didn't want it to be built back up. It was a strong kingdom. Didn't want to be built back up. And so now they got themselves in a position where they're now trying to rebuild the kingdom, regain the honor, regain these different things. But one thing that caught me, and this is the point I'm getting to, the main captain or the general of this army, of this troop of warriors, made a covenant and made a commitment that he was going to do and make sure that he brings honor back to that kingdom. And by him doing that, he began to sign a decree. And this decree was a precedent or was a memorial, I would say, of them, even though they may lose their life, it is written of what they sacrificed and they signed their name with blood. And I'm going to tell you how they did it. They signed their name, but they took their sword, made a thumbprint impression, and put their blood as a seal on their signature. That is what Christ does for us. He rebuilds us and restores us, and he begins to take his blood and begins to put it, and we engraft our fingerprint and our name with the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. Whereas, we now no longer are we by ourselves, but we are actually engrafted in him. I want to go, want you to, if you can, I want to read this real quick to you. And I want you to, let me do this. As a matter of fact, 2 Corinthians, okay? 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter and the 17th verse. Second Corinthians, 5th chapter and the 17th verse, and it talks about this. And it says that, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. When we come to Jesus for salvation, we are made completely new. Corinthians 5 and 17, that's what it basically talks about. The like I said before, just like that fingerprint I was telling you about, we are engrafted in him into his fingerprint. We are a part of his makeup. So in other words, when we see here, that's the power of the blood. That's the power of the blood, is that we now have the access, because that same blood print or that fingerprint that is on the decree that has pardoned our sins, we have access to that, where our name is a part of that as well. It identifies us. We are identified with the blood. So in other words, when we accept him as our personal savior, we are now engrafted in him, that now his blood is our blood. Is that when God sees us, he doesn't see our blood that he created. He sees the blood of Jesus Christ over us. right? So it is very important that we stay in that facade or stay in that mask or stay in the covering of the blood. See, the thing about it is this. Yes, the blood speaks, the blood covers. We can step away out of it when we don't allow ourselves to follow after his path. So we have to understand something. Christ walked a pattern. He walked a narrow path. He walked a narrow path. And in order for us to be able to be hidden in the blood of Jesus Christ, okay, and us to be hidden in the blood of Jesus Christ, you have to imagine like this. You're walking down a narrow path, and it's a narrow bridge. A narrow bridge with not any type of rails on the side of on each side. Okay, just imagine if you can. Put it in your mind. You're walking on a path high up, even go high with it. There's no rails on the left, no rails on the right. And there's a narrow path. And Christ tells you, I need you to follow in my footsteps because I know how to get you from point A to point B. I know how to come across this bridge, and there are specific steps that I know that I must take, and I need you to follow right after my footsteps. So here's what happens is, he wears the blood upon him. It's on his crown, bleeding out of his side. It's on his feet, right? So the footprints that he's walking in, okay, if he steps to the left, once he moves his foot, we step in the place where his foot was, and we begin to follow along with him that way. By doing that, we are assured that we will get to the same destination where he is now. That is the power of the blood. Because what the blood does, if you look at it from another aspect, if you did not follow in the same bloody footprints that he walked to get to his father, then you would miss the way by either falling to the left or falling by the wayside, whatever it may be. You could fall off of that bridge and you can miss the journey by being out of obedience to what he is commissioning us to do. I hope that dramatization kind of helps you, because that is what we have to be, Christian. I'm telling you, we have to make sure that we stay under the blood. We got to stay covered in that blood vein, because what happens is he hides us in the shadow of that mighty wing. He hides us in that shadow where his blood is still covering us, but we have to be close to the fountain where it can flow over us. And so I said all that to say this, is that what happens is that when, just like it says in Corinthians, that therefore if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. We are now a new creation because we've been crucified. Our sins and everything has been crucified with Christ. So it's not that I live, is that the Christ lives inside of me. It is him that lives now. And so if you go down to 15, Corinthians 5, 17 through 21, I'll read that or further down. Is that even a reading, I'm going to read that. Actually, I'm going to bring that out. So therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. 18, all this is from God. I'm reading the extended standard version or whatever, exemplatory version, different version. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Okay? That is, in Christ, God is reconciling us. He is reconciling us to understanding to be the same heir that he is, the same heir that he desires of. So it's a message of reconciliation. Go to 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God for our sake. He made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. In other words, this is what it's saying. There was a division between us and God. That's what was happening with let's say, for example, with those that did not have the blood. There was a division between us. God comes for judgment. When he comes for judgment, sometimes death is at hand. Usually death is at hand. It's a dying of something. That's what judgment comes, okay? I'm not saying this, everything that's going on. I'm not saying that by any means, so please don't get it twisted. But what I'm saying is that righteousness that we find, we have to be in Christ, because that same righteousness that he looks for is through his son, Jesus Christ. When we stand behind him, he sees not only Christ, but he sees us through his blood. So that is what God sees when he looks at us. But the thing I want to encourage each and every one of us is, are you where you need to be that he can see you? Are you wrapped up or caught in the blood of Jesus Christ? Is it covering your life? Are you pleading the blood over your situations and circumstances? Does he see the blood in this? Does he smell the blood, the iron that's in the blood? Does he see the ruby redness of it all in your life? That, my friends, is what God looks at. He sees the blood that is over our lives. Now, I want to share something with you. It is knowing that I'm covered under the blood of Jesus Christ, or that we're covered under the blood of Jesus Christ. It is knowing this thing, this hope that we have, knowing that we are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, that gives us the ability to not be afraid. It gives us the ability not to worry. It gives us the ability to have peace. It is something about knowing, and this is if you look, use this example right now. I know that many of us may have, you know, have been probably just maybe come to a wit's end when it comes to having our family so close to us all the time. I'm not saying that I am. I'm saying some of y'all. I'm just saying some of y'all. I ain't saying no names. But you're probably not used to having your child with you every day, okay? And when you think about it, it can be like, man, I can't wait to school get back going on. But I'm going to tell you something. Here is the overall rest that you have eventually when it kind of kicks in and it hits you the right way, is that you know where your kids are. You know that your kids are protected. You know that they're safe. You can keep your eye on them. You know exactly what's going on. They're in your presence. You can see them laughing and giggling and you know, all those different things. You know they're eating. You know they're brushing their teeth. You know they're being provided for. You know why? Because they're in your care. They're in your surroundings. They're in your presence. You know, they're safe. You know that your home is safe. They're safe. That's how we are in him. He knows where we are. He knows. Oh, my God. He knows. Okay, yeah, when I see my son, when I see my daughter, when I see Keisha, when I see Gloria, when I see Bridget, when I see Sade, when I see Lee, when I see all these different ones, when I see Andrea, when I see Terry, when I see Mika, when I see all of them, when I see them, when I see Bobby, when I see them, when I see Alex and all of them, when I see them, I know who they are. I know the blood is over their life because I can see it. And I know what they confess. And I know they're trying to hold on to the blood. And I know that they have it on their doors of their posts. And they have it on their heads. They have it, you know, where the death angel will pass over them. I know that they're safe and secure because the blood is on their life. That's what he sees. Man, I'm so grateful that the blood is on our doorposts. Tonight, on the unction of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to do it as well. I want each and every believer, if you take your praying oil, here's what I want you to do. And I'm speaking to, and I'm asking women to do it. The man of the house, if he's there, if he's able, before you guys go to sleep tonight, I hear a pressing in my spirit. Is to take the oil, your praying oil that you have. Some of you've got some from the church. If you don't got anything from the church, and I'm sure you may have some there, just get that praying oil. And if not, you don't have that. If you don't have that, we're going to just walk by faith. If you have, if you do have this, what I want you to do is this. Those that don't have any oil, or praying oil, or whatever the case may be. See, it's just a contact of faith. We're just exercising our faith. If you have olive oil, okay, and if you have olive oil, no matter what grade it is, we're not getting that. I just want to be led by the God, by the Spirit. Take that oil. Take a piece of it. Take it straight from the bottle. If it's your olive oil that you cook with, okay, or whatever that oil is that you cook with, whatever it is, that olive oil. I'm the most one looking for olive oil. Take a portion of that, separate it from what you cook with. Put it in a little container, put it in a little cup, whatever. And begin to pray over that oil. Consecrate that remnant of oil that you have. If you don't have it already set aside, it's just a point of contact. That's all it is. Consecrate that remnant of oil, or whatever that is that you have. Consecrate it, dedicate it to the Father, and we're going to use that. Okay? And I want the male, the man of the house, okay, go and first, okay, first things first, I want you to do this. I want you to anoint the post of your door, outside door, okay? What I mean by the outside, step outside the door. Or if you don't want to step outside, you can step inside, because according to your faith, step outside the door, anoint each corner, each post, or left, right, middle, bottom. Left, right, middle, bottom. Okay? Does that have to be in order? Left, right, middle, bottom. Anoint that door. When you come into the home, anoint yourself. Left, right. Okay? Left shoulder, right shoulder, head. Anoint your feet. And go to your wife. Anoint her head. Head, shoulder, shoulder, feet. Children, head, shoulder, shoulder, feet. Okay? And as a man, pray into the house. Begin to cast out any different types of... I hear God saying to go into your house and just begin to create and to begin to plead and dedicate that house back to God. Dedicate your children back to God. Dedicate in your own little way. Any kind of way. Now, if there is not a man in the household or is accessible in the household, then woman, wife, mama, you are the one. Anoint yourself. Anoint the post. Anoint yourself. Anoint your children, their head, their shoulders, and their feet. Okay, head, shoulders, and feet. And begin to pray over our children and thank God for the blood covering our children. Okay. And also to pray, and I'm going to cover it in our prayer as well, to pray for, because sometimes what occurs is that the enemy, even though we're in our homes, he tries to cause division and confusion in our homes, frustration, irritation. But this is our house. For me and our house, me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. In your house, you shall serve the Lord too. So this is our house. This is our place of refuge. This is our place of peace. This is the place where we want the presence of God to be so evident in this life. This is our place where we begin to, this is our prayer time. It's our prayer closet. All throughout our house is dedicated unto the Lord. It's dedicated. And you begin to just lift them up in prayer. Okay? Lift them up in prayer. Just lift them up. Lift it up in prayer. Okay? What I also want to do, starting next week, this is as a ministry of the church, and those that would join me, if anything, want to get back into prayer and fasting, okay? Because I believe that this time is a good opportune time where we must desensitize or to kill the spirit of desensitization. That's what I'm going to say. Making up my own words. What I mean is this. I believe that the enemy will send a facade to all of us believers, whereas we're so caught up in to what's going on in the world that we can walk away from what God has always required us to do. And that's to, you know, be people of prayer, be people of watching, fasting, intercession. And I say that for myself in so many ways too, because a lot of times you get so caught up in your day-to-day, you get so caught up in your job and everything that's going on, it desensitizes you because things are now so convenient. You don't have to just get up and go to church now. You don't have to just, you know, everything is easy. Just you sit in your own living room, get on the podcast and hear somebody speak to you in regards to what thus saith the Lord. So I believe that if we're not careful, our spirits can go weak. And I refuse to allow that to happen. And we all should refuse to allow that to happen. Our spirits, I speak by the authority of Jesus Christ, that our spirits shall be a flame. We shall be a flame of fire. Okay? That we shall be that same force, that light. And we shall spread the gospel to whomever we have an opportunity to do so in our conversation. Amen? Come on and join me in prayer. Gracious and Heavenly Father, God, we thank you. We thank you, Father, for this time in your presence. I thank you, Lord, that even in the midst of all, that you are still in the midst. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I come against every struggle and stronghold, every mind-blinding, every mind-blowing, every mind-manipulating spirit. And we cast down the vain imaginations that tries to overtake us. And Father, we plead the blood of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus over our families, over our homes, over our jobs, Father. We plead the blood of Jesus over our spouses. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I come against all different types of demonic forces that try to tear what you have put together. Father, you said in your word that God, what you have joined together, let no man tear asunder. And Father, I pray right now by the authority of Jesus Christ that every marriage, every relationship that is holy unto you, that God, you begin to expand it even the more. The marriage between husband and wife, that you would enlarge that even the more, Father. That you would begin to come and to tie those binds, those cords that are not easily broken. You tie them closer together. That we as husbands and we as wives, we may be able to give a holy example to our children because now they're watching us, Lord. Let them understand and hear us speak about the blood. Let us be able to teach them about the blood of Jesus Christ. And Father God, I pray right now by the authority of Jesus Christ that none of us will be lost. I command right now by the authority of Jesus Christ that healing be our virtue and be our portion. I command right now by the authority of Jesus Christ that we come into a place of rest in our souls and in our minds and in our spirit. That we come into a place, God, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. That we have hope and that we fail. I come against the spirit of torment right now. I come against the wayward daughters and the wayward mothers and the division between the two. I come against it by the authority of Jesus Christ. Let us dwell with them, God. Let us be able to dwell in peace, God, in the name of Jesus. And Father God, let love and respect flow through. Let your blood be evident right now. So Father God, we give you honor. We give you praise. We give you glory. And Father, we thank you. We thank you that, Father, this too shall pass. We shall come out of this with our hands up. We shall come out of this with victory because we've already got the victory in you. And for that, God, we give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory in Jesus' name. So we thank you right now. And we praise you. And we honor you. I'm so grateful and so glad that God has allowed us to have this opportunity together. And without further ado, I want you to understand that he has his eye on you. He has his mind on you. He is looking at the blood over your life. And remember that God sees you. He knows exactly where you are. You know, he knows exactly what you have need of. He knows where you're broken. He knows where you are hurting. He knows where you are crying. And I believe by the blood of Jesus Christ that you have been delivered, you have been healed, and you have been restored. I thank you for stopping into this RTRMI radio and catching our Bible study podcast. If we could be of any type of service to you, please give us a call or give us shoot an email. You can hit our website at www.rtrmi.org. If you can, we ask that you please just support what we're doing here. We don't really have need of much right now, but there is a work that has to be done in the kingdom. But if you feel led to partner with us, we're welcome. You're welcome to do so. Just hit our website and, you know, anything will help the ministry go further. But with that being said, join us this Sunday as we also share the same platform and we'll begin to have our Sunday worship and also Bible study next week. Well, this is Pastor Robert J. Douglas, Jr. I love you. Ain't nothing you can do about it. You have a great day. Be peace. Be blessed. And thank God he sees the blood.